That's one of my favorites in all the hymn book. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And I'm so glad that He is this morning, this afternoon, whatever it might be. And I'm glad I'm His. As I think the primitive quartet says, I'm glad He's mine and I'm one of His. And I am glad of that. Thank the Lord for it. You know, if we belong to the Lord, we're private property. And when He saved us, He put up a no trespassing sign. And the devil might growl around the edges a little while, get around on the perimeter a little bit, but he's not going to come in where we're at. The Lord's already seen to that. Somebody said, "Where do you find it?" Well, He told Peter, he said, "Simon," He said, "Satan had desired to have you, and he might sift you as wheat, but said, don't worry about it, I prayed for you, and your faith will fail not." And certainly He wouldn't have told Peter that, and then let me and you wonder and worry all of our life whether the devil's going to get us. You know, a lot of kids grow up thinking there's a big bad boogeyman. Well, there ain't no big bad boogeyman. He's Satan, he's Lucifer, he's son of the morning. And he is an adversary, there's no doubt about that. And he's got great influence on your mind and your life. But there's one thing about it, if you're saved, he can't possess your soul. Amen. And I'm so grateful for that. Now I want to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter number 19. And we're going to continue a little more today in our studies on the man of Moses, the man called Moses. And I'll not have time to read all that I'm going to cover this morning in the thought, because the thought is quite broader than the scripture that I'm going to read. In fact, it covers two chapters, and I'm not going to be reading both of those chapters. But I want you to keep your Bibles open, and you can go along with Brother Hall. I thought about the Decalogue a little bit. I think Brother Steve went through that not long ago. And so I doubt very seriously that I'll deal with that in these studies on Moses. But it'd be a wonderful study to make. I may mention them as an introduction to something, but I don't think take time to go through all of them. All right, chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible said, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell to the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." And that's all I'm going to read this morning for the sake of time. And I want to ask you to keep your Bibles open. I'll be mentioning several verses of Scripture down through here and in a couple of other places in chapter 20 as well. And so if you'll follow along with me, you may get a little something out of it, I hope so. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school and the singing time that we've had in the fellowship. I pray now you'll bless the preaching of your word. I do pray for unction from the Spirit of God and liberty. I pray you'll bless your people. Lord, we certainly need help in these last days. Give us the grace that's needed to stand and fight the good fight of faith, to do, Lord, be good soldiers of the cross and war against the devil and his ways and his means. I pray that you'll help us today to preach the cross, the gospel of Christ. Help us to bring clearly the message you've laid on our heart to the people and bless them with it. I pray, save sinners and get glory to yourself. Help the sick and those that are afflicted today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I don't want the title to be misleading this morning, But I want us to look at the last part of verse number 2 in chapter 19, is where the Bible said there, "And there Israel camped before the mount." Israel camped before the mount. And like I said, don't let the title be too deceiving to you. But I want to preach this morning on sounds from Sinai. Sounds from Sinai. And I'm not going to get to the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices and all that. But there were some sounds that came from Sinai that were frightening and fearful to the ears and the hearts and the lives of the people of God. Now, I'll probably not get to that. I may say a little bit about it, but I doubt very seriously that I do, okay? But as we begin here in chapter number 19, Israel's journey toward the promised land had brought them to the mountain of Sinai. This place has already played a significant role in the life of Moses and will now be used to help shape the lives of God's people in their preparation for eternity. It was upon this mountain that the Lord first appeared to Moses. It was on Mount Sinai that Moses saw that bush that burned with fire, and yet it was not consumed. It was there on that mountain that Moses turned aside to see that great sight. And a voice spoke to him out of that bush and told him to take off his shoes, for the ground whereon he was standing was holy ground. And so this mountain that Moses has led Israel back to, or God has, is not really some place that Moses is not aware of. He's been there before. In fact, he's been encamped round about that mountain for some 40 years of his life. And I'm sure that he's well acquainted with that mountain. But God brings him back now to that mountain. And it's here that Moses received the Ten Commandments that some people call the Decalogue. It says in verse chapter 3 and verse number 12, and said, "And he," that is God, "said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. When thou hast brought the people of Egypt out of Egypt, ye shall serve me upon this mountain." And so there was no doubt in the mind of Moses when he got back to Mount Sinai that that is exactly where God wanted him. That is exactly where God wanted him to serve. He knew that he was in the will of God. And you know, that's something that's important today, whether it be a man of God or whether it be just a Christian. And that is to make sure that you're in the will of God. God spoke to him and said, "This will be a token unto you, that when you bring those people out of the land of Egypt, right here in this very place where I've already appeared to you is where I'm going to use you to serve me." Now, you know, that's amazing. I could go into a lot of detail in my own life. I won't do that, but I could. How that God brought me to a little place over here in Rumsey, and a few years after that brought me here to Madisonville, about a crow flies, maybe 13 miles away from where God started out with me. And I'm sure that when Moses got to this Mount of Sinai, he said within his own heart, "Lord, I know this place. I've been here. And you've spoken to my heart from this place once." But you know, God is getting ready to speak to Moses the second time. And this time, it's not going to be in a still small voice, but it's going to be through thundering and lightnings and a great tempest, a great smoke and darkness and thick clouds that settled in that place. It was enough that it made the children of Israel fearful to even be there and to hear the voice of Almighty God. But he's sure that he's in the right place, because God has told him that it would be upon this mountain that you're going to serve me. Now, I want you to notice how the Lord describes Israel's journey from the land of Egypt to this holy place or this holy mountain. It says in Exodus 19:4, he said, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I have brought you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, you know, I believe if I'd been the children of Israel, I'd have had to wonder in my mind, what on earth is he talking about that he's brought me on eagle's wings? I certainly don't seem to have been above my problems and my difficulty. Was I on eagle's wings, they thought, when we crossed the Red Sea? Were we floating on wings of eagles when we came to Moriah and found no water that was bitter? The water was bitter and the Lord did make it sweet. Have we been on eagle's wings all this time when we've walked through this wilderness where there's no water and there's no food? But God said that I brought you on eagle's wings. I think that we could learn a lesson of that. You know, sometimes our journey in this world will appear to you and I that it's rough traveling, but really, in reality, it's not nearly as rough as what you and I think it is. And the reason being is because God is bearing us up on wings of eagles. We'll run and not grow weary, and we'll walk and not faint if we're serving the Lord, and we'll mount up with wings as eagles. And God will do that for us. Notice three things quickly about these wings of eagles. Number one, the journey was swift. There's not a swifter bird in the air than an eagle. Now I'm thinking in my heart, they're probably thinking, Lord, how in the world could this journey, it certainly don't seem to me that it's been that swift. And you and I will think the same thing, that when bringing us to God doesn't seem like, it seems like a long, long journey. But I want to say something to you, children. Just sit in your seat and hang on a while, because it's not going to be near as long as what you think it is. I'll tell you, time will soon be by, and you can look back and say, truly, God hath brought me unto himself on wings of eagles. I can say that in two ways, two illustrations. God brought us unto himself on wings of eagles when he saved us. He delivered us and brought us out of sin, and it wasn't we ourselves that come to God, but it was God that brought us to himself. Don't you ever lose sight of that. There's a lot of people today got the idea, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a lot of people got the idea today that they can come to God whenever and wherever they want to. But God said that I brought you on wings of eagles. I brought you, and I brought you unto myself. And children, if you've been saved by the grace of God today, God came to you. Oh, I love that old song of Squire Parsons, he came to me. When I could not get to where he was, he came to me. Isn't that blessed and wonderful to know? I struggled and you struggled and we tried all that we could and everything that we knew how to get to God, but we just couldn't get there. But lo and behold, one day the heavens opened and there God descended like an eagle, and on eagle's wings he bore us up out of sin and degradation and brought us unto himself to the foot of Mount Calvary, where we might be delivered and saved by the marvelous grace of Almighty God. Now I tell you, that journey may seem like a long journey, but really it wasn't. God bore us up on eagle's wings. It was a swift journey for them on those eagle's wings. May I say, secondly, it was a safe journey. There's no safer place for a little eaglet than on the wings of mama. If you know anything about eagles, mama will kick that little eaglet out of the nest. And that's how she makes her fly. She'll bump her out of the nest off that mountain, and that little eaglet will begin to fall and scream and squeal and quack and carry on, knowing it's going to plummet to its death. But just in the nick of time, here will come mama swooping under that little eaglet and pick it right up on her wings and carry it right back up onto that mountain. And she'll continue to do that until that little eagle is able to fly on its own. Now, when that little eagle was sailing down through that air, I'm sure it didn't feel very safe. But I'm going to tell you, when it felt rest on mama's back, it realized that there was safety in that eagle. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We may fall a lot of times. It may seem like we're never going to hit bottom. But I'll tell you, before we ever do reach the bottom, you just mark it down, that the Lord God, the eagle, that eagle is going to sweep under you and I and bear us up on eagle's wings and carry us right back to the top of the mountain where God wants us to be, in a safe place, and that is on the wings of that eagle. Amen. And then I want to say it was a lofty journey. Can you imagine them journeying on the wings of an eagle? A high and a lofty place. Don't seem like it, does it? I've been through, in my journey, I've been through sawbriars. I'm talking about spiritual sawbriars. I've been through thickets. I've been through snake pits. Amen. Say amen, somebody. I've been through rat traps. I've fought off the wolves. I fought off the wolves. I fought off wild beasts, I think, sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, I can honestly say that the trip has been lofty. I've been on the wings of that eagle. It's been a safe trip and a swift trip and a lofty trip. It may have seemed like I was in all that danger, but in reality, there was no danger at all. I said that in my opening remark. I'm telling you that the devil has got a perimeter that he cannot cross to get to you and I. He can stand on the outside and growl all he wants to, but God is not going to allow him permission to get a hold of you and I. We have been saved by the grace of God, brought out of Egypt on eagle's wings, and God has brought us to that mountain where he wants to deliver us his word and his covenant that will give us the grace and the knowledge and the understanding that God wants us to live by. I don't have time to get into all that, but that's part of it anyway. Then I want to say that also... that here God made his covenant with his people. He said in chapter 19 and verse 5, Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar, doesn't say people, a peculiar treasure. Can you believe God said that if we'll keep his covenant, that we are a peculiar treasure unto him? We're worth something to God. Somebody said, oh, we're worthless. Is that real? You really believe that? I don't think I'm worthless. I mean, I'm worthless. But I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't worthless to God. I'm his treasure. You know why I'm his treasure? It cost him the richest thing he had in order to purchase us out of the slave market of sin. And that was his darling son, ladies and gentlemen. And if he gave the richest thing in heaven to deliver you and I and to purchase our soul, we're a treasure unto him. And not just a treasure, but a peculiar treasure amongst all the people of the earth. Because he said, all the earth is mine. We're a peculiar treasure. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. A peculiar treasure. Now, it was there that God made a covenant with them. God said, if you keep my covenant, if you keep my, indeed, he said, you'll be, if you keep my covenant. Now, the covenant, get a hold of this. I never got this out of a book. I got it myself. But the covenant was with the Lord and not with the law.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to shock some of you. I want to run that by you again. The covenant was with the Lord and not with the law. Now, I'm going to get to the law in just a minute, but I'm here to tell you that was the problem with the Pharisees. They had that problem. They said, hey, Moses, we've got Moses and the prophets. They were all the time going back to Moses. You know what they were going back to? The law. What they were saying is, we made a covenant with the law. We're going to live by the law. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to live by the law of Christ. There is another law that we live by, and that law is the law of Christ. Amen. My covenant is not with the law, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but my covenant is with the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. Hold on, okay? The law was given as a schoolmaster. Was given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That is right, or to bring us to God. And that his grace might be gloriously admired. That's right. Now it says, and he brought you, in verse 4, he brought you, and brought you, he says, unto myself. Now that law that he gave was a schoolmaster to bring us unto himself. We can't deny that. The law brought us unto Himself. But get a hold of this. And I'll get to it in just a minute. Just hang on. The mountain God brought them to was a specific place in His plan. Exodus 19:2 said, and that there Israel camped before the mount. Not just a mount, but before the mount. And it had to be the highest mount in the area. And I'm going to get back to the law in just a minute. If you'll just hold on with me, okay? But hey, it had to be the highest mount in the area. Now don't nobody leave me here. Some of you are going to leave me. Because that mountain had to be visible to everybody. There were over 1.5 million Jews. That mountain was Mount Sinai was the highest mountain in that area. And it was so God brought them there that that mount where He was at in that thick cloud was visible to everybody there. Why do you think Christ died upon Mount Calvary? Hey, the gospel is not hidden in a corner. Christ did not die in some dark room. Christ died on Mount Calvary, visible to all. Amen. Amen. There's not a soul in here today that cannot see Mount Calvary and see the redeeming grace of our Lord that flows from that place. If you'll open up your eyes, He has made it plain and visible to all. Amen. Now I'm going to get to that law or something in just a minute. You hang with me. Now, it was visible to all. He called it because of Mount Calvary. It revealed the supreme authority of God. The highest place there. That's where God was at. May I say to you, He is the supreme one.
Amen.
I've watched a little bit on the internet of these debates and these politicians and things. Boy, and I'll tell you, world leaders today really have an idea, not just our people, but across the world, they've got an idea that they're really somebody. Oh yeah. And they actually entertain the idea that they're running things. But I got news from them. The one that thundered from Mount Sinai. The one that spoke in a voice that the people said, hey, don't let him speak to us no more. But Moses, you speak to us. That one that thundered from that mount is still on the throne yet today, ladies and gentlemen. He was the elevated one then and the supreme one then and the authority then, and He still is today. God still has supreme authority over this world today. You can mark that down. But He created and it belonged to Him. Not somebody else, it's His.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to say thirdly, it was magnified above the people as the all-lofty one who sits on the throne of God. Now, I've mentioned that. Then there had to be a valley round about that mountain. Somebody said, preacher, what a valley? Well, there's 1.5 million Jews. They've got to have some place to stay. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this if you'll stay with me. They've got to have some place together and encamp round about that mountain. And so there had to be a valley there. And it was done that Israel might know, and I believe it was done for this purpose, that Israel might know that the God that spoke from the top of that mountain was also the God of the people that dwelt in the valley. Friend, if you can get a hold of that, you'll do a double back flip. Because about half of you in here this morning look like sad sack.
Really?
Amen. Come on in the house. I'm telling you, the God of the mountain, thank God Peg's right. You may not like Peg, but Peg's right. He's still God of the mountain, ladies and gentlemen. And the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. You can mark that down. Yes, sir. He said, I'm God on this mountain, but I'm also God of that valley as well.
Amen.
Amen. I know that's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. He was, and that valley, when they settled down and God spoke, now listen carefully, that valley became a sanctuary made without hands. We come to this building Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and somebody's here to bring some sort of a little message and a thought to us, we'll sing some songs, and we call this little building our sanctuary. But it was built with hands. But when they settled down on that mountain, God began to thunder forth. God began to speak to the people. And that place became a sanctuary. I can prove it in a minute. Don't try to tell me I'm wrong. God made that place a sanctuary where His people were going to meet with Him. And they did meet with Him. Hang on right now. So it was a sanctuary. Now here God also reveals His holiness and the purity of those who would approach unto Him. Exodus 19, 10 and 11. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day." I want you to listen. He said, "Hey, you tell them people to sanctify themselves and wash their clothes." I want you to get ready. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. They're getting ready to approach God. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God said, "You're going to be clean if you're going to come to where I am." He mentioned their clothes. You're going to have on clean clothes if you come to where I am. But I'm going to tell you what God's looking at today. God's looking on the heart. Now I'm going to tell you why we can't approach God today. It's not because of our dirty clothes. It's because of our dirty heart. If you think that you can entertain sin in your heart and live a life of sin and approach God, whether it be in prayer, whether it be in worship, whether it be in song or fellowship, you are absolutely mistaken. It cannot be done. If there's bitterness in your heart or hatred in your heart or anger in your heart or jealousy in your heart, I'll guarantee you can forget approaching God. He won't allow it to be take place. He won't allow you to get there. That's right. I'm telling you. And I know I'm on the air. But I'm telling you, I'm starting to get kind of bum-fuzzled. You know, I preach politics sometimes. I shouldn't. But I'll tell you, I'm worried about so-called Christians. Yeah. South Carolina is in the belt of the Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt. And you know, we got 3 men running. Basically, 4, but 3 basically. One of them last night, I think, made 17% of the vote. He's a Catholic. Another one got 20-some% of the vote. He's a Mormon. And the third one that won the election is a Catholic whoremonger. Amen. You can like it or love it, hump it or bump it, friend. Don't make no difference to me. And what bothers me is that the Bible Belt said yes to that. I'm telling you that or to tell you and I where the hearts are of God's people today. They're not right with God. I'm wondering when somebody is going to raise up in our country that has got a pure heart. Somebody like old George Washington used to be. Raise up in our country and take the bull by the horns, amen, and live a life before people that will prove to people what he says he is real. Amen. You don't have to worry about somebody's a joke or not.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now you may not like that, but God did. Now, you're not going to approach God with a dirty heart. There were also no natural boundaries to prevent the people from coming to God. No natural boundaries at all. He who has made, listen to what I'm going to say, and don't fall out with me on this yet. He who has made the soul respects its rights and will not force himself will not force his way into his throne. He stands at the door and knocks. And only when its bolt is undone does he consent to enter. But when he enters, he passes through to reign. And we better get a hold of that. I'm going to tell you, you invite God into your heart. I'm going to tell you something. Friend, He comes in to reign. He don't come in to play second fiddle. He rules and reigns in the affairs of men, and He does in our heart. Yes, sir. If He holds the hearts of the kings in His hand, where do you think ours is as His children?
Amen.
He reigns. And someday He will reign on earth. He is a ruling, reigning king. That at some day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's coming. And you stay right with me because I'm not done with that. And I know some of you think, well, Brother Hall's flip-flop. No, just listen carefully. I said there's no boundaries. Whosoever will. But the Lord did set His own boundaries. There were no natural boundaries. But the Lord did set His own boundaries. Thus depriving the people that entrance to their on their own merit. He said, Moses, set a boundary around this mountain. And don't let any of the people touch that mountain or touch that boundary, lest they die. You know why He done that? Whosoever will can come up there. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You ain't going through on your own merits.
Right.
Folks got the idea today they're going to heaven on what they've done, their own merits, their own righteousness, or how pure and holy they are. You ain't going to make it. People worry about being holy. Can I tell you something? If you love Jesus, amen, and live with Him and for Him, He'll make you holy. If you'll walk with Him, He'll rub off on you before you rub off on Him. If you'll talk to Him, He'll listen to everything you've got to say and then tell you a few things also.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll welcome Him into your heart and welcome Him into your house and welcome Him into the house of God, I'll guarantee you He'll make a great difference in your life and my life as well as the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, God did set boundaries. The Bible said in Exodus 19:12, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not into the mount, or look, touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death.
Amen.
Now, why would somebody be put to death for touching that mountain? God said not to, but why'd they say not to? You don't have to agree with me, but I'm going to say three or four things and tell you why. What purpose does this really play in the deliverance of a sinner? It's the law. Did I not say the law brings us to Christ?
Amen.
And it does it not? The law is a schoolmaster, is what Paul said, to bring us to Christ. What did God give them on that mountain? The Decalogue. The first part of the law was given from on that mountain. Now, listen very carefully. The only barrier, this is going to sound crazy. I said the law brings him to Christ, but the only barrier to God is the law. The very thing that brought them is a barrier preventing them from getting to Him. He said, don't you touch this mountain.
That's right.
You know why I can say that? I say it without hesitation. Because Paul said in the New Testament, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, hey, the law condemns. But grace delivers. The law condemns, but grace converts. Amen. And that very law that brings us to Christ is a barrier to keep us from Christ. You can't touch it. You touch the law, you go down with the law, you're going to die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you champion the law and try to keep the law to get to heaven, you're going to die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you that right now. Now listen, I'm going to try to point this out. Whosoever will may come, but only on God's terms. The only way to God is by a mediator.
Yeah.
Listen. Exodus 20, verse 18 and 19. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people, I know the mountain was smoking, I don't want to see none of you smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood where? Afar off. Can I ask you wherever sinners at today? Afar off. That's where we're at. But those of us that were afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of the Son of God. They stood afar off from the law. They couldn't get there. There was a boundary, a no-no. And God was behind that law, giving them. Well, how are you going to get to God? I'm going to tell you how. Here's what the people said. And they said to Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before you, before your faces, that you sin not." Now what did they say? We can't talk to God. We can't take the thunderings. We can't take the lightning. We can't take the voice, and we can't take the smoke. We can't take any of that. So you go talk to God for us. And then we'll do what you tell us to do. Boy, if you ain't got that, but now you're dumber than a box of rocks, friend. I'm telling you, I'm glad I got one. Amen! I couldn't get to God, so God sent His Son to me. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, when I couldn't talk to God, I can talk to Jesus. Every time I talk to Jesus, I know He's going to God. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, when Israel couldn't talk to God, Moses could, the divine mediator for them. And I'm going to tell you right now, we can't talk to God either. But we can talk to God through Christ. He is our mediator. Yep. Thank God He sits on the right hand of God today. Amen. Every time the old devil passes by and said, "Hey," God said, "You see what Hall done down there?" Jesus just looks over and said, "He's mine." "Well, did you see what Gray done?" "He's mine." "Amen." "Well, did you see what Steve Russell done?" "He's under the blood." Amen. The Son is our divine mediator. Yes. Folks, on Calvary.
Yes, sir.
On Calvary.
Amen.
When we couldn't get to God, He reconciled us to God by Himself, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
One preacher said he reached up into heaven with one arm and took the hand of God. Reached down to earth with the other and took the hand of man and brought them together and reconciled. Man being in enmity with God. But I'm going to tell you, the grace of the Lord Jesus broke down that middle wall of partition, and there's no more enmity. But there's grace and love and mercy that's been bestowed upon you and I. That law said, "No, you can't." God give us that law and said, "I'm going to take you to the law and eagle's wings, but you can't come to me. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to set up a perimeter, and you can't come any closer than that. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a man by the name of Moses. And I'm going to let him come through the perimeter and come right up on the mountain where I'm at." Boy, God just give me something there.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Ain't that what Jesus said? Ain't that what Jesus said? Ain't that what God said? God said, "You can't come to me, but hey, I got a son. Come on up the mountain where I'm at." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the God and the Son met on the mountain together, and it was there the covenant was made and set in the blood of Christ to deliver you and I by the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that right? Thank God we've got one that can go to God for us. When we can't get to Him, He can come to us.
Amen.
Now, the Decalogue is next. But I'm probably going to pass that by because Brother Steve just used it. But I'm going to tell you something. God brought Israel out of Egypt on wings of eagles.
Amen.
And brought them on a journey to Mount, the same mountain he spoke to Moses out of. And went up on that mountain and gave them the first law. I think the first four deals with God. The others deal with man and man, I believe. I stand to be corrected on that. But I'm going to tell you, you know what the first commandment is? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Amen.
To love Him.
Amen.
I put in that news bulletin this morning, that bulletin. He loved us. We love Him because He first
Amen.
Loved us.
Amen.
And then He loved us so much He gave Himself for us. Amen. When we couldn't get to that mountain where the law was at, He went up on the mountain and fulfilled every word of the law. I'm not done yet. I thought I was done. He fulfilled every word of the law for you and I, every jot and every tittle, ladies and gentlemen. And satisfied God Almighty. Somebody said, I keep the law. And that lawyer told the Lord that day, the Lord said, He said, Master said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? He told him which ones. He said, all these I've done from my youth up. The Lord said, you lack one thing, go and sell everything you got. Come, give it to the poor and come take up your cross and follow me. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He might obey some of the commandments, but he certainly didn't love his neighbor as himself, did he? I could go on and on,
Amen.
But I won't. Wings of eagles, sounds from Sinai, the Decalogue, thou shalt not. Can you imagine hearing that in the voice of God? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Negative. But when grace and truth met together in Christ, became all positive. Woo! Make me want to run my head through a wall, friend. Bless His wonderful name. He done for old Brother Hall what I could never do for myself. I'm glad you never knew me before I knew Jesus. What a wonderful Savior we have and a marvelous God. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, why did He take him to the law? Had to take him to the law. That law, when they seen all those things, they knew in their heart, we can't do all that. It condemned them. But it drove them to Christ. It drove them to those sacrifices that everyone represented Christ. Finally, one day, John the Baptist said, behold,
Amen.
The Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. There's the one you've been looking for, boys.
Amen.
Are you looking for Him this morning?
Amen.
He's coming.
Yes, sir.
He's coming. Guarantee on that. Are you ready to meet Him?
Amen.
Well, the Savior lost. Are you ready to meet Him?
Amen.
Are you prayed up, paid up, stayed up, read up? Ready to meet Him? I hope you are. Let's stand together.